of January. It's February. No, it's December the 30th, 2025, and almost done with this year. Tomorrow will be New Year's Eve. So, yeah, this year went pretty quick. Tonight we'll be going through the third chapter of Daniel. And with that, I'll just go ahead and open up in a word. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we have to meet around your word and to delve into it, to get to know you better. We pray that tonight you will open up your word to our eyes, that we might get to see you and in it, and as you are the entire word, as you are the word, Lord. And thank you for each one here. Bless them. Keep your hand on each one, and thank you for the love we share. Yeah. These things we pray in Christ's name. Amen. So, yeah, we left off last time at the end of chapter 2 of Daniel, and tonight we'll be looking at the third chapter, which has to do with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the fiery furnace. And we're going to read through each verse and make a comment here and there. Now, as far as the dating of when this took place, there's really no way to know. There's nothing, you know, it says what year and all that, but Bullinger, if you look on the margin, he thought it would be around he thought it would be 2 years after the destruction of the temple. 2 years after the temple was destroyed. So Nebuchadnezzar would have already been in power some 21 or 22 years at that point. And according to history, he reigned for 43 years. And then his son and grandson took over. And that lasted, so the Babylonian reign lasted 70 years. But one thing about this particular chapter, you know, historians, you know, will tell you, you know, I don't know, I don't think this happened, you know, like, you know, we don't have any proof of this image. There's no archaeological proof of this image, most of them say, which, you know, for being, 2,500 some years ago, that wouldn't surprise me. But, an archaeologist today, there's what's called a minimalist and a maximalist, and the maximalist takes the Bible, you know, as information also. Not that they're Christians, but they just say that you have to take it all. A minimalist says, no, we don't want to take the Bible at all. And those are in the majority. And that's true with any kind of higher education. It's always like, you know, if the Bible says something that doesn't seem to go along with their thinking, then yeah, we have to toss that out rather than the other way around. But they say no, there's no proof, but in our minds we know it is proof. Some of them even say that since the first written, the oldest written copy, I believe, of Daniel is about the second century BC. So, you know, they think that's when it was written and these things had already happened, and that's how these things got written down. You know, so you hear all kinds of silly things like that. But let's see. And let's go ahead and read Daniel 3:1. It says, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. So according to the CB note, that was some, you know, very close to Babylon itself. Historians have other ideas about it. But it had to be pretty much in the vicinity of Babylon itself. And if you notice here, it says, you know, they set up an image. So this is Nebuchadnezzar's version of Nimrod. He fashioned himself as a reincarnation of Nimrod himself. And we'll see a couple of other examples of that as we go along. But, so this would be, in fact, his version of the Tower of Babel, which I want to comment on. Let's go to Genesis 11, and I'll read verses 1 through 4. Where it says, "And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east," or in this case, when they journeyed eastward. In the Hebrew, that's the King James really should have read eastward, not from the east. So it kind of gives you an idea of where the Noah's Ark settled. It would be west of Babylon. And they started spreading out throughout the world. And we know that even some of Shem's bloodline went east. You know, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Even some of Shem's line went east. But when we get to Hebron is his name. That's a different study. But let's keep reading. "And they said one to another," on verse 3, go to, "let us make brick and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, "Go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto the heaven, and let us make us a name." Let us make us a name, which on the note says, you know, establishing themselves independent from God. You know, we have to have a name. This is satanic. This is Satan's a name for his people. "Lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." So this was to manifest themselves independent of God. And notice in the note on verse 4, it says Nimrod being the rebel leader. Nimrod being the rebel leader. He was, before the flood, we compare Cain, and then after the flood, we start looking at Cush and Nimrod and different, you know. But it did jump the flood, obviously. Satan had his way, you know, and it jumped the flood. The 1800s, there was an archaeologist named Rawlinson, and he did a lot of research in that area in Babylon. And one of the things he found was a cylinder, or cylinders, plural, B-I-R-S, the Burrs cylinder. And one of the interesting things is here's Nebuchadnezzar talking himself and saying, "I built this... I finished what Nimrod started," talking about the Tower of Babel. And he even has the phrase, "reach unto heaven" in it, on that cylinder. On Nebuchadnezzar, there's actually quite a bit of historical data, which if you try to read it, it's hard to decipher a lot of it, but some of it gives us a clue here and there, but here we see a one world religion being set up. as we read on, we'll see that this was a one world religion, just like what we're dealing with today. There's a movement still going in that direction. And eventually, as we'll see that, you know, that's going to happen for a short period of time. Then in, we'll read verse 2 of Daniel 3. And it says, then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes. There's 8 different things here. The princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Now, we can call these people principalities and powers as an example. Just as we read of principalities and powers in the heavenly places, as well as principalities and powers on earth in the New Testament. And this would be, to establish this religious system and governmental system. You know, they want total power, and this would represent that divine glory, a divine glory in their eyes. So let's go on to verse 3. Then the princes, the governors, and captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So we're going to see in Revelation there was an image there. 10 times that word occurs in John's Revelation. But we're going to keep reading here in Daniel first. And in verse 4 it says, then an herald cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages. Notice that this is a world power because it says nations. He was the world leader at this point in history. Here's another example here of how this system has been set up, one world power. That at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, verse 5, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. Let's go on and read verse 6 first. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the fiery furnace. Shall be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Now, let's turn to Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4 and make a comparison here. And it says, and I'm going to read verse 4, Revelation 20. And I saw thrones, and they, and the notice says the Father and Christ, this is they, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image. So there's going to be some sort of an image that people are going to worship at this time, when the Antichrist does come along. Neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So these were overcomers who were rewarded for their faith. Because they had faith, they knew who they believed in. We see that comes about, that actually happens that way. Also, I'm going to read Revelation 13, starting in verse 11, and I'm going to read all the way through to verse 18, and that's where we have the 666 thing, but we'll see more comparisons here, where it says, "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon, and he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men." So he's supernatural things that people witness and get confused, "and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed." So similar to what we read in Daniel, that he'll be cast into the fiery furnace. "And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of the name." The number of the name, we saw that word name also. "Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. So, Nebuchadnezzar, we can say, is a type of the Antichrist. And, when you read through some of this stuff, the way he talks about, Israel's God in, I think, three different places and extols him, it sounds like Nebuchadnezzar wasn't that bad of a guy. I think he did humble himself a little bit after the 7 years that he, ate grass. I think that did humble him some, but he still considered Jehovah a God. And, the God of Israel, a God. So okay, so we saw the image of the beast in both places. That's why I wanted to read that. And Daniel, I'm going to read 7 and 8 of chapter 3. "Therefore at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet," and so there was a preset time of all of the nations at that time of day, whatever time that was, or a day of the week, whatever day that was, "when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews." So here we have, Satanism. We see a lot of this going on today. Accusations with no explanations behind it. There's always an accusation. And Christians are especially, prone to that. I mean, it's going to happen to them, let's say. We know that. We know we're going to go through certain sufferings. And God only gives us what we can handle. And you know, what we have to deal with. Each person has his own thing he has to deal with. But the word is so perfect, it can heal anything. The word can heal anything because Christ is the word and Christ is perfect. And the closer and more you get to know him, the more you grow in that direction. Now in, we're going to read Daniel 3, 9 through 12. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Politicians, thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image, and whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of the fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. So, you know, this would have been maybe 20 years, as we said, or more even, or less, I don't know. But we already know that these three men had, if we go back to 249, says, then Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. So we already know they had certain power, and Daniel wasn't included in this. And because you know he didn't worship the beast either, but Nebuchadnezzar considered him divine, as we talked last time, that he actually prostrated himself after Daniel interpreted his dream. But the name Shadrach, what it was Hananiah, but the, you know, all of these, those who were exiled from Jerusalem and that had come over to Babylon, he changed their names to put, you know, make them, it's kind of like having a number in prison, so to speak. But it was a name under their God, you know, and it was all a each one was some version of Nimrod. Shadrach, for example, is the moon god. Meshach, who is as Aku. Abednego, servant of Nego. And these are all, you know, all related to the one world, you know, religious system, so to speak. But they had, so they put up with these names, and let's see. So yeah, so they were accused, you know, there's always somebody out there making accusations. So they would not worship the image that thou hast set up. And let's see. And here again we see another example of, you know, Nebuchadnezzar being a type of the Antichrist. Okay, then in verse 13, I'll read 13 through 15. Then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these three men before the king. And I think of the verse, you know, I wonder if they were quoting to themselves the 23rd Psalm, especially verse 4, where it says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know, that would be the feeling you'd have in your stomach, like, well, maybe this is it, you know, but I will fear no evil. And these were great examples. These three men were tremendous men to look at. And let's keep reading. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now he gives them a second chance. Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God? I mean, he had a pretty high opinion of himself, you know, thinking himself to be Nimrod and so forth. Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? So that's kind of, I think, is an example of that saying where power corrupts. And it certainly did in this case. He really thought himself to be something that he wasn't. Then in, okay, so that was, okay, and I want to compare that, you know, in verse 28 down here, you will see who that God was. Who is that God? You know, and down here he talks about this, Nebuchadnezzar himself, talks about, calls him, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And we'll get to that verse. Also in 434, says, and at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, this whole chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar himself wrote or spoke it. These were his words in Chaldee. I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High. The Most High, he calls him here. I think he was a little more humbled after the 7 years. And I praised the and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? So that's quite a statement. And you can see that, you'd think that after Daniel had interpreted the dream, that no one, you know, he had to even tell him what he dreamed. You'd think that he would know, but that doesn't happen that way, you know. Maybe one in hundreds, I'm not sure. But, okay, then in verse 16, the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful, or as the note says, we do not count it needful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, that is, if you do cast us into the fiery furnace, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand. But if not, you know, if he doesn't deliver us, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Wow. So these three were not ashamed of the word of God in any manner. So that was through verse 18. Oh, and that reminds me of Job. That reminds me of Job 13 and 14. Let me see. Job 14 through 16. 13, 14 through 16. Wherefore, and this is Job talking, wherefore do I take my flesh and my teeth and put my life in mine hand? Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. but I will maintain mine own ways before him. He also shall be my salvation, for an hypocrite shall not come before him. So, similar to say there, you know, death is one thing, but, there's also resurrection beyond the grave, and that's who they believed. That's what they believed. Now, in verse 19, it says, then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. Let's go on verse 20. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. And these men were bound in their coats, their tunics, says hosen, which means tunics, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So, we already see God working, God's hand in this incident here, because these people were his accusers, all of his accusers, you know. You better, you know, buck, tighten up your belts here if you really think you know what you're doing. And it's kind of the price of doing business, you might say, that they got burned up. So, let's see, we're in verse 22. Okay, therefore, because the king's commandment, verse 22, was urgent, the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down. Notice they're down. They fell down and they're bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Trying to look at my notes here. Okay, verse 24, then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake, and said unto his counselors, did not we cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see 4 men loose, and they're walking. They're not knocked down and they're not bound. They're loose, walking in the midst of the fire. And they have no hurt, and the form of the 4th is like the Son of God. And, the note here, it says in the CB, a Son of God. Superhuman being or angel, Nebuchadnezzar could know nothing of the New Testament revelation of the Son of God. That's a New Testament revelation. There's no way that they could have known that. So this is a son, and the 4th looks like a Son of God. So, let's see here. So we had a Bible study one time here in Phoenix. And, as usual, we all talk about different subjects. We get to this verse where it talked about the number 4, being in that fiery furnace. And, you know, that because there's a discussion of whether that was an angel or whether it was Christ himself, the Messiah himself. And I remember that day we kind of pretty much went away saying, yeah, that was Christ. That was Christ in that furnace. He came, unbound them, delivered them, surrounded them, and surrounded them where the fire didn't even affect them at all. That was, I remember driving home that day thinking about that. But yeah, that pretty much had to be. Let's see. Okay, I read that. Okay. And in verse 26, then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. So, one thing we can say about this is that Satan has no power over death. And Oscar used to use this example in Job chapter 2. Job chapter 2 and verse 1. I think we'll read verse 1 and maybe a couple more. Where it says, again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, we'll read on down through verse 6. Is that, am I talking to Tony here or Chico? And the Lord said unto
Satan. Talking to both of us.
Okay. I mean, for the editing. Okay, and the Lord said unto Satan, from whence cometh thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. The Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him. That's kind of a strange thing there. And thou movest me against him. It's like God allows certain things to happen in our lives. But again, never more than we can handle. And it's for us and our own growth. And he wants us to come closer and closer to him. A perfect man, an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. And Satan answered and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thy hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. The Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but spare his life, or nephesh. That's the word nephesh there. Save his, which is the word for soul. So, save his soul, you know, his life. That's what we are. We are a soul. We don't have a soul. Then in verse, let's go, let's see. So, so that's where, we can say that Satan does not have power of death, even though most people believe that and they go through all kinds of religious ceremonies or doings that, you know, because of their fear. Okay, then in verse... come forth hither. Then Shadrach came forth out of the midst of fire. And the princes, governors, captains, kings, counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed. Neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of the fire had passed on them. And that's That's a supernatural thing, of course. And just like in the 40 years that the children of Israel walked through the wilderness, their clothes and their shoes were never wore. They never wore thin. They lasted through that whole time. And so, you know, being the same type of supernatural thing that God is capable of doing. And here we see all these eight powers again. I don't think they wanted to do any more accusations against these three men. Verse 28, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. So, this one I would like to turn to, Revelation 20:15. We was already in that chapter. Revelation 20:15 says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So this shows you a comparison here too. That, you know, these three men did have life, you know, because of their faith. It was because of their great faith. And if we turn to Hebrews chapter 11, we'll also see an example where, you know, after he went through the names individually, you know, all of the people in the great cloud of witnesses that had faith, when we get down to verse 32, where he starts grouping people. And what shall I more say, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and of David also and Samuel and of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms. Listen, that's one example here. Subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. That was Daniel. Also Paul. Paul's talking though. But so he would be talking of Daniel here. Quenched the violence of fire. Quenched the violence of fire. Escaped the edge of the sword. Out of the weakness were made strong. Waxed valiant in fight. Turned to flight the armies of the aliens. So that's an example. This chapter here is an example for us today. You know, as we see in Romans 3:16, all scripture is for us. And we can use all scripture, you know, to get to know him better. So though it's not written to us, we can still use it. Then in let's read 28 again. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word. Have changed the king's word. That's pretty good right there. He's changed the word for these guys. And yielded their bodies. That's Romans 12:1. That to present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is reasonable. And yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree, 29, Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language would speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut into pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. And again, this is more to do with superstition, you know, because he considered him a god. And so, you know, he had to cover his bases for all the gods. So he had to say this about them. And then in verse 30, and the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. So we already know they had a certain amount of power, you know, in Babylon, but now they had more power. So now you can say that they were rewarded. They were rewarded for their faith in God. And in Colossians 3, verse 24, we have the verse, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye served the Lord Christ. So we can use that for us today, all of the Old Testament, all of the New Testament, and especially the seven books written after Acts, which have to do with the mystery, that Paul received the mystery at the very end of Acts, and that's Colossians that we just read is one of the books that he had been revealed this. So at that point in his life, that was his whole mission, was to teach and spread and make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. So that pretty much concludes chapter 3. And then, next time, chapter 4 has to do with, the Nebuchadnezzar's dream of a great tree, and where he, for 7 years, became, some kind of animal, and, you know, where he ate grass. So that concludes this study for tonight. And with that, I'll close in a word of prayer. Thank you, our great Lord and Father, for the things you have done for us, the things you do for us. Give us faith in you, Lord. Help us to believe in you and walk with you and trust you, because we know that there's nothing to be compared to what's waiting for us after all of these things on earth. Thank you for each one here tonight. We pray that you'll put your hand on them all through the coming next year. Walk with us and protect us from the evil, Lord. And just thank you again for the love that we all have for you and for each other. These things we pray in your great name. Amen.